sure every sound's in my ear is calling me deeper, deeper. Breaks every fetter and removes all my fears. It's calling me deeper, deeper. You see the place that I need can no longer contain my destiny. And yes, bold as it's made, but I adhere to the call inside of me. It's calling me deep, deep, deeper, deeper. It's calling me deeper, deeper, deeper.
Welcome to The Blessed Message, a peaceful space where reflections lead to renewal. The aim of our platform is to create a space where believers can come for meditations, engage with the Word of God, while having the opportunity to share their biblically sound messages/encouragement with other believers. Join our community group as we explore the depths of God's Word, nurturing our hearts and minds together. Today, I will be sharing a sermon titled, Lord, Teach Us to Pray, Luke 11 verses 1 to 4. Be blessed as you read or listen. Amen. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we thank you for your word, for the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. We thank you for another opportunity to bring your words to us to renew our hearts and minds to draw us closer to you. I glorify and honor your name. There's none like you, and there never will be. You are the King of all kings. You are the Lord above all lords, enthroned in majesty and power. You make your angels spirits and your ministers flames of fire. You clothe your servants with your burning presence, and you consume darkness with your light. You are holy, mighty, and worthy to be praised. You are the loving Father. You created us for your glory, to have a communal relationship with you, even through prayers. You are Alpha Omega. Receive all the glory, blessings, honor, and power in Jesus' glorious name, I pray. Amen. Bible reading. Luke 18:1-8. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Jeremiah 33:3, call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Luke 11:1-4, now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. You will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Lord, teach us to pray, the disciples said to Jesus. This same cry still echoes in the hearts of many today. There are those who yearn for guidance on the foundational principles of prayer. When should I pray? How important is prayer? What does the Bible say about it? Why is it so hard to build a consistent prayer life? Some honestly confess, I want to pray, but I don't know how. I don't know when to start or what to say. After a few words, I just go blank. But prayer is not about the eloquence of our words. It is the posture of our heart. It is our lifeline, our sacred mode of communication and connection with God. Prayer is where we surrender to the Holy Spirit, for as Romans 8:26 reminds us, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. So, prayer is more than words. It is spiritual communion with our Father. Yet, for many believers, it remains one of the most difficult things to do. At the sound of the word prayer, or when it's time to pray, it feels more like a chore, a task to complete, a burden to carry. But it shouldn't be so. In this message, I'll be sharing what prayer truly is, how to pray, and when the Scripture instructs us to pray. Understanding the purpose and power of prayer will help you see why the enemy so fiercely attacks this area of a believer's life. I pray that every prayer altar will receive fresh fire from above in Jesus' name. Amen. As someone known to be prayerful, I too entered a season where prayer became difficult. It started to feel like a duty, burdensome and forced because of the challenges life threw my way. At one point, I felt I had prayed all the prayers I could possibly pray, fasted countless times, and still saw no change. After long, exhausting days, spending even 1 hour in God's presence felt nearly impossible. Gradually, I noticed myself drifting from the altar. My prayer time kept shrinking day by day. The enemy ensured I stayed busy and tired, so that all I could muster at bedtime was a short whisper, "Father, I thank you for today," before dozing off. But I knew this wasn't me. The Holy Spirit kept whispering to my spirit, "This is an attack. You don't sleep in the midst of a war. When the storms of life arise, that is when you need to press in deeper, pray harder, stay longer, and build spiritual stamina in my presence." I understood this was not just weariness. It was spiritual warfare. The enemy would taunt me. "Haven't you already prayed enough? What more is there to say? Just go to bed. Where's the result of all those prayers anyway?" These lies felt relentless. And yes, physically I was drained. I was relocating at the time, and if you've ever had to pack up suddenly, you'll know how chaotic and tiring it can be. You never realize how much you own until you have to move it all. Yet through it all, I kept thanking God for the supernatural peace He gave me amidst the trials. Still, I longed for the depth of prayer and worship I once experienced. One thing became clear: the enemy doesn't attack when you're strongest. He waits until you're vulnerable. He comes when your guard is down, when you are weary. Even Jesus was not tempted until after his 40-day fast, when he was hungry and physically weak. Matthew 4:2-3. That's when the enemy came to test his identity and trust in God. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph through Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14. My prayer rhythm was interrupted due to changes in work hours, the discomfort of a new environment, and many transitions. But in the middle of it all, I kept showing up in the little ways I could, and the Holy Spirit drew nearer than ever before. I found strength in feeding my spirit with sermons daily, messages from Apostle Joshua Selman, Pastor Stephanie Ike Okafor, and other vessels God was using to strengthen me. It was tough, but I held on. Then I began to pray, asking God for the grace to remain, staying power in the place of prayer, and for restoration. One evening, I took a walk at the park near my home. I played the song "I Will Sing" by Don Moen. The moment was divine. The lyrics moved me to tears. In that stillness, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. It's not about how long you pray or how perfectly you express yourself. Just keep showing up, even when you feel empty. For in your weakness, I am your strength. That encounter changed everything. I prayed and worshiped for over an hour that night, and I could feel the sweet, undeniable presence of God. I was like a daughter returning to her father, and he welcomed me warmly. The burden was lifted. The following week, the Spirit of God led me to write this message. All this happened within the span of a month, and through it, I learned that consistency, not perfection, is what matters most in our walk with God. I now burn with a fire I thought had died. Glory be to God. What is prayer? Prayer is spiritual communication with God, is a two-way dialogue between a believer and God, involving both speaking and listening to God's guidance through the Holy Spirit. Where even when we are weak and short of words, the Holy Spirit prays through us. It's deeper than words, it's a connection. Prayer is the alignment of our hearts with God's purpose. It's calling on God with the expectation, knowing that He hears and responds. It is the invitation for divine revelation and intervention in our lives. Jeremiah 33:3, Mark 11:24. Prayer is our point of defense in spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6:8. Prayer is a lifestyle. Prayer is talking to God the Father, listening to His voice, trusting in His will, and drawing near to His heart. I have met people who say, "I want to pray, but I can't pray for long. I just don't know what to say after a few words." I understand you. But first, why not let us look at how Jesus teaches the disciple how to pray in Luke 11:2-4. It starts with a relationship, the relationship of knowing your place in God through Christ. Our Father in heaven. These words are not just a prayer opening. They are a powerful declaration of identity. Knowing that God is your Father changes everything. Your Father. We say it often, but many still don't carry the revelation behind it. It's not just a title. It's intimacy. It's access. It's belonging. When you give your life to Christ, you are not left alone. His Spirit comes to dwell within you, And that very spirit cries out from deep within, Abba, Father, Romans 8, verse 15. This is the spirit of adoption. The evidence that you're no longer a stranger or outsider, but a child in the house of your heavenly Father. The Bible affirms this truth. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. John 1, verse 12. You are not just a believer. You are a child of God. And once this becomes real to you, it transforms how you pray, how you live, and how you see yourself in this world. You're not striving for acceptance. You're walking in a relationship. You're not begging to be heard. You're speaking to your Father who loves you. If you love someone, you take your time to learn their language. You build a communication with them. Sometimes you are willing to talk to the person all day regardless of how busy you are. You create time for the person you love. Similar is a true believer's relationship with God. The enemy knows the importance of our communication with God. That's why praying seems to be the most difficult thing to do for many believers. While you notice that a person can talk all day, even about irrelevant things, but when it comes to prayer, they feel tired and short words. God is spirit, and those who worship must worship in spirit and truth. For you to feel his presence, your mind, body, and soul must be in the right posture. I pray may you find strength in Jesus' name. Any situation that drains your energy and your zeal for prayer, receive divine strength now in Jesus' name. Amen. Several times in the Bible, we see the life of man that devoted themselves to prayer, their encounter with God, and the mighty result calling upon God can bring to a man's life. Our prayers and supplications are never in vain. They are seed sown, and when the harvest comes, even your generation to come will reap its fruit. Prayer shifts things in the spirit, and it draws the attention of heaven. Daniel, a life of consistent prayer and divine revelation. Daniel 6. 10. Daniel 9 verses 3 to 23. Daniel 6 verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved, Daniel 9, verse 23. Elijah, prayer that brought fire and rain, 1 Kings 18, verses 36 to 38, James 5, verses 17 to 18. Elijah's prayer on Mount Carmel brought down fire from heaven, proving the power of God. Later, he prayed again, and rain came after a long drought. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. James 5 verses 16 to 18. Hannah, a prayer that broke barrenness, 1 Samuel 1 verses 10 to 20. Hannah poured out her soul in prayer, and God gave her Samuel, a prophet. The Lord remembered her. So it came to pass that Hannah conceived and bore a son. 1 Samuel 1 verses 19 to 20. Paul and Silas, prayer that shook prison doors, Acts 16 verses 25 to 26. In prison, they prayed and sang hymns. Suddenly, a great earthquake shook the prison and broke their chains. Immediately, all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Acts 16 verse 26. Even our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, lived a life of prayer. It is recorded several times in the Bible that he withdrew himself to pray, often in solitary, quiet places like the wilderness, the mountains, and the Garden of Gethsemane. These were sacred and consistent places of communion with the Father. Luke 5 verse 16. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Luke 6 verse 12. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer God. Matthew 14 verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. Mark 1. 35. Now, in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Luke 22 verses 39 to 41. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed. This reveals the heart of prayer: intentional, set apart, and relational. Jesus himself had places he returned to often, where he would pour out his heart in deep communion with the Father. This teaches us to build our private altar, our secret place, where prayer becomes personal, intimate, and consistent. This does not have to be a separate special place. It can be anywhere in your home, because it's not about the place or time, it's about the posture of heart and consistency. While corporate prayer is powerful and essential, after all, when we say "Our Father," Matthew 6, verse 9, it reveals fellowship and unity. There's a depth of personal relationship that comes from private prayer. We see the mighty results of corporate intercession when the early church prayed fervently for Peter's release and God responded with a miraculous deliverance. Acts 12, verses 5 to 7. We are also instructed in Ephesians 6, verse 18 to pray always, being watchful, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. This shows the importance of praying for others, the body of Christ. However, the focus here is on developing and nurturing your private altar. Go to the Father in your secret place, away from distractions, to have deep, real, and honest communication with Him. This is where transformation happens. This is where strength is renewed, supplication and intercession is made, where direction is received, and where our hearts align with His. The word of the Lord came to the prophet Jeremiah while he was confined in prison, in a low and difficult place. Yet even in that state, God spoke to him with a clear invitation: "Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Although God already knows our needs, He desires that we call upon Him. This reveals a heavenly principle. God wants relationship and communication with us, not just requests. Prayer should not be driven solely by our needs. It is not just, "Father, I want this or that." God wants us to maintain intimacy with Him continually, not only in times of need. Sadly, many believers lose this closeness after their prayers are answered. They fervently seek God when they need a breakthrough, but once blessed, they drift away. God Himself expresses this through the prophet Hosea: "I knew you in the wilderness, in a land of great drought. When they had pasture, they were filled. They were filled and their heart was exalted. Therefore they forgot me." Hosea 13, verses 5 to 6. This shows God's heart. He desires ongoing fellowship, not just to be a source of blessings. Calling on Him must be a daily lifestyle, not a last resort. In place of prayer, we find clarity. I believe when a believer has a full understanding of what prayer means, knowing how we ought to approach it, the posture of our hearts will help you understand that you don't have to be good in words or know all the Bible verses to approach God. The Word of God is a weapon in the place of prayer, but first you need to overcome the forces of darkness that distract you and weakens your prayer life. That sudden burden you feel when it's time to pray, you need to first overcome that with prayer and having it in mind that, okay, it's time, let me go and talk to my Father. Let me go and worship, pray, thank Him, and pour my heart out to Him. This should be your mindset. See your prayer time as a time to communicate with God, where you talk and He answers. See your prayer time as boardroom, where God has given you the authority to agree or disagree with what is notion alignment with His will for your life. See it as a place of intimacy, where you uproot, plant, and destroy every satanic agenda. In the book of Matthew 7, verses 7 to 8, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Matthew 7, verse 11, amp. If you then, evil, sinful by nature, as you are, know how to give good and advantageous gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven, perfect as He is, give what is good and advantageous to those who keep on asking Him? This doesn't mean engaging in vain repetitions or empty words, but rather speaking from a heart that is surrendered to God, a heart that continues to serve and worship Him in spite of the circumstances. It's a heart that casts all its cares on God because it trusts in His love and faithfulness, for He truly cares for us. The moment your perspective on prayer begins to shift, you'll understand that prayer is not just about asking for things when you're in need. It is about seeking His presence daily. You are the temple of the living God, an altar where His Spirit dwells. As Scripture says, "A fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out." Leviticus 6 verse 13, NKJV. When you stop worshiping, praying, and seeking God, you begin to quench the fire on your altar. Prayer is more than petitions. It is the daily building of your spiritual self. It is like a holy fire that must be kept burning continually. In the place of prayer, you build spiritual stamina and capacity. You begin to grow, to become stronger, to carry His presence. You become an envoy of His glory. Prayer is not seasonal. It is a lifestyle. When things are going well, when God has granted you peace on all sides, you pray and give Him praise. When things are not going well, you still pray. This is where the enemy traps many believers. He knows that when you have all you need, money, health, family, comfort, you may no longer feel the urgency to pray or serve God. So he keeps you in that state of spiritual slumber until the day he strikes unexpectedly. That is why Jesus instructed us that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Luke 18 verse 1. When should you pray? Always. He also said, "Pray, lest you enter into temptation." Matthew 26 verse 41. Don't let the blessings God has given you become a distraction. Don't let them steal your time in the Word or in prayer. At every point in your life, you must be equipped to face the enemy and boldly declare, "It is written." Be spiritually alert, knowing that when you stop praying, you begin to decline, both physically and spiritually. You lose your communication and intimacy with your Maker, and you expose yourself to all kinds of demonic attacks. That's why even unbelievers often have an unexplainable void in their lives, a deep emptiness that can only be filled by the One who created life itself. God made us for fellowship, to commune with Him, to know His ways, to walk with Him by studying and meditating on His Word. Yet many, in search of meaning, end up seeking power and fulfillment from dark places. But it all ends in sorrow. As Jesus said, Isaiah 8 verses 19 to 20. And when they say to you, "Seek those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." Romans 1 verses 21 to 22, 25. Because, although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. Jeremiah 2 verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Know that God doesn't need anything from us. He is God all by Himself. Romans 11 verses 34 to 36. We are the one who needs Him. Without God, we are nothing. The very breath we breathe daily comes from God. When we draw closer to God, we are drawing strength from Him. Prayer is a shield, is a way to stay spiritually alert and not fall when trials and temptation comes. The posture of prayer, aligning our hearts with God, knowing how to pray, how to approach God, and our attitude and worship profoundly shapes our experience in the place of prayer. When the disciples said to Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray," Luke 11 verse 1. It revealed that prayer is not just instinctive. It must be learned and understood. Jesus then laid a divine foundation for communion with the Father. Many grow weary in prayer because they see no result and discouragement sets in. But Scripture shows us that unanswered prayers often reflect issues within. Wrong motives, disobedience, or praying outside God's will. You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. James 4 verse 3. God is not moved by prayers rooted in envy, rivalry, or selfish ambition. He sees the heart and weighs every intention. Hannah's story teaches us that breakthrough comes when prayer is surrendered to God's purpose. At first, she simply longed for a child, but later she vowed, "O Lord, if you will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life." 1 Samuel 1 verse 11. Her pain was real, but her shift from desire to divine alignment unlocked the answer. God was not delaying to hurt her. He was preparing her heart to birth a prophetic destiny. Likewise, when God invited Solomon to ask for anything, he requested an understanding heart to judge your people. 1 Kings 3 verse 9. His request wasn't selfish. It was kingdom-centered. This pleased God, and he gave Solomon not only wisdom, but wealth and honor beyond measure. 1 Kings 3 verses 10 to 13. Prayer is not merely about requests. It is about heart posture. Job's restoration came not when he prayed for himself, but when he prayed for his friends. Job 42 verse 10. True prayer flows from a surrendered heart, aligned with God's will and trusting his perfect timing. 5 keys on how to pray effectively. 1. Pray with the Word of God. One of the most powerful ways to pray is to pray using the Word of God. Prayer rooted in Scripture carries divine authority, because you're not just speaking your thoughts, you're declaring what God has already said. The Bible tells us that God honors His Word above His name, Psalm 138 verse 2, and that He watches over His Word to perform it, Jeremiah 1 verse 12. That means when we pray according to His Word, we are praying His will, and He is faithful to respond. This is why it is so important to be deeply rooted in Scripture. The Word of God is not just a book, it is a spiritual weapon. When the devil came to tempt Jesus in the wilderness, Jesus didn't respond with emotion or personal opinion. He said, "It is written," three times. He overcame the enemy by quoting Scripture. Even the devil knew what was written. Now imagine a believer who doesn't know the Word. How can you fight back when you don't know your sword? The more of God's Word you carry inside you, the more authority you carry in the place of prayer. Your prayers become bold, focused, and effective because they are based on truth, not emotion. The Word gives you clarity, discernment, and direction. It opens your eyes to what is yours in Christ. So you stop praying from a place of defeat and start praying from a place of confidence and victory. When we meditate on the Word day and night, Joshua 1 verse 8, we are not just reading for information. We are building revelation. And prayer built on revelation is powerful. It is through the Word that we learn God's promises, understand His character, and discover His will. Without it, prayer becomes shallow and uncertain. So stop letting distractions steal your time. Put down the phone. Close the app. Pick up your Bible. Engage with the Word. Speak the Word. Pray the Word. There is no substitute for it. God's Word is your weapon, your anchor, and your guarantee in the spirit realm. When you pray His Word, you're not praying alone. You're praying with the full backing of heaven. 1 John 5 verse 14, John 15 verses 7, and 1 John 5 verse 14, Jeremiah 1 verse 12. 2. Ask in faith. Faith is the foundation of every effective prayer. Without faith, prayer becomes nothing more than a string of hopeful words lacking power. Faith is what connects our words to heaven. It is the confident assurance that God not only hears us, but also answers us. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Mark 11, 24. When we approach God, we must come with hearts anchored in trust, believing that He is able and willing to respond. Prayer without faith is like speaking into the air, but prayer with faith moves the heart and hand of God. James 1 verses 6 to 7. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Abraham is our great example. Even when all physical hope was gone, he did not stagger through unbelief. He held tightly to what God had spoken. Romans 4 verses 20 to 21. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was also able to perform. Faith is not mere optimism. It is not positive thinking. It is the spiritual confidence that comes from knowing who God is and what he has said. That's why the Word of God is so critical. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Matthew 21 verse 22. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11 verse 6. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. James 5 verse 15. Let your prayer life be built on the solid rock of faith. Even if all you can say is, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, that is still a step toward the kind of faith that touches heaven. Faith isn't based on how we feel. It's based on the unchanging character of God. Faith prays with confidence. It waits in expectation. It praises before the answer comes. 3. Seek with hunger. Seeking God is not a casual endeavor. It is the pursuit of a soul desperate for his presence. It flows from a place of spiritual thirst and holy desire, where nothing else can satisfy but God himself. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29 verse 13. Hunger is the fuel of pursuit. It sharpens our focus, ignites our desire, and draws us deeper into divine communion. It's not enough to pray once in a while. We are called to seek him earnestly, consistently, and wholeheartedly. David, a man after God's own heart, expressed this hunger vividly. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Psalm 42 verse 2. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Psalm 63 verse 1. This hunger moved David to seek God at all times, through worship, in battle, in repentance, and in times of great rejoicing. He knew that the presence of God was not optional. It was his lifeline. Another example is Moses. Though he encountered God in powerful ways, through the burning bush, the parting of the Red Sea, and the giving of the law, he still cried out, "Please, show me your glory." Exodus 33 verse 18. This was not a man content with past encounters. Moses wanted more of God, because true seekers are never satisfied with yesterday's revelation. Consider Daniel. Despite living in a foreign land and being a man of high status, he set his face to seek the Lord with fasting, prayer, and intercession. Daniel 9 verse 3. God responded by revealing deep prophetic insights and sending angelic messengers. The persistent hunger to know God also marked the life of the Apostle Paul. Even after decades of ministry, he declared, "That I may know him." Philippians 3 verse 10. Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament and experienced heaven's glory, was still yearning to know God more. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Isaiah 55 verse 6. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11 verse 6. Hunger draws heaven's attention. When you seek God with intensity and sincerity, he will reveal himself. He doesn't hide from the hungry. He responds to them. Stop treating God like a last resort. Seek him as your first and only source. Chase after him like your life depends on it, because it does. 4. Knock with perseverance. Knocking symbolizes tenacious faith, the kind that refuses to give up, even when the heavens seem silent. Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." Luke 11 verses 9 to 10. This is not a casual knock. It is persistent, patient, and rooted in the belief that God hears and answers in His time. Many give up too soon, not realizing that delay is not denial. It is a divine test of endurance. Consider Hannah, who year after year went to Shiloh, weeping and praying for a child. Though mocked by Peninnah and misunderstood by Eli, she poured out her soul before the Lord. Her perseverance birthed Samuel, one of Israel's greatest prophets, 1 Samuel 1 verses 10 to 20. Elijah didn't stop at the first prayer for rain. He told his servant to look toward the sea seven times before a small cloud appeared, 1 Kings 18 verses 43 to 44. His persistence brought breakthroughs. Daniel set his heart to understand and humbled himself before God, praying and fasting for 21 days. Unknown to him, the answer had been released on the first day, but spiritual warfare delayed its arrival. Daniel 10 verses 12 to 13. His unwavering faith held the door open until heaven responded. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service I will wait till my change comes. Job 14 verse 14. God honors patient perseverance. The promise is inherited not just through faith, but through faith and patience. Hebrews 6 verse 12. Anna the prophetess remained in the temple, worshiping day and night for decades. She saw the Messiah with her own eyes because she did not stop knocking. Luke 2 verses 36 to 38. So keep knocking, even when nothing moves, even when the delay stretches long. Let your trust outlast the silence. God's timing is perfect, and those who wait on Him will not be put to shame. 5. Pray with right motives and a surrender heart. Prayer is not just about what we say. It's about the heart that says it. God is not moved by eloquence or emotion. He is moved by truth, purity, and surrender. Motives matter to Him deeply. You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. James 4 verse 3. When we pray from a place of pride, competition, or selfish ambition, we shut the heavens ourselves. But when we come in humility, aligned with God's heart, our prayers carry divine weight. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, gave us the perfect model of surrendered prayer. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Luke 22 verse 42. That one line holds the power of heaven. True prayer bows to the will of God and says, even if you say no, I still trust you. The story of the Pharisee and the tax collector reminds us that God exalts the humble. The Pharisee prayed to impress men. The tax collector prayed in repentance, and he went home justified. Luke 18 verses 9 to 14. When Solomon asked for wisdom instead of riches, God gave him both, because his heart was right. 1 Kings 3 verses 5 to 13. So ask boldly, but check your motives. Surrender your plans, and let God purify your desires. A heart aligned with His will is unstoppable in prayer. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37 verse 4. Prevailing in prayer. In your prayer time, understanding how to host heaven is key to cultivating the presence of God. Though God is omnipresent, He is everywhere at all times. Your awareness, focus, and posture in the Spirit will determine your encounter. When you come with the right mindset, prayer becomes a joy, for in His presence is fullness of joy. Psalm 16 verse 11. You cannot approach God with a scattered mind. Prayer requires focus. It's in those moments you suddenly remember tasks undone, clothes to fold, errands to run, but these are distractions. Guard your heart, fix your gaze on Jesus, and engage with the awareness that you are standing before the throne of God. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4 verse 16. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Isaiah 26 verse 3. 1. Our Father in heaven, relationship. This speaks a relationship. Prayer begins with revelation. God is your Father, not a distant deity, but a loving, present Father. When this truth settles in your spirit, faith arises and fear bows. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. John 1 verse 12. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Romans 8 verse 15. 2. Hallowed be your name. Worship. This is worship. Approach the King with reverence. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Psalm 100 verse 4. Let your heart be filled with gratitude before any request is made. Worship creates the atmosphere for divine exchange. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 29 verse 2. Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Hebrews 13 verse 15. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Psalm 34 verse 3. 3. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Surrender. This is surrender. One of the hardest parts of prayer is letting go of our will. But divine alignment accelerates divine assignment. Trusting God's will doesn't mean passivity. It means embracing his sovereignty, even when life doesn't make sense. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Luke 22 verse 42. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Proverbs 3 verses 5 to 6. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Proverbs 19 verse 21, NIV. Ask for the grace to discern his will in every season. Even when you don't understand, pray, Lord, open my eyes to what you are doing in this. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Psalm 25, verse 14. For we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. 4. Give us day by day our daily bread, dependence. This is complete dependence on God. It's not just about physical provision, but spiritual nourishment. Jesus said, I am the bread of life, John 6, verse 35. Just as Israel received daily manna, we need daily fellowship with Christ through prayer and the Word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Matthew 4, verse 4. Give us this day our daily bread. Matthew 6, verse 11. He humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. Don't starve your spirit. Just as your body needs food, your soul needs the word. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. 5. Forgive us, as we forgive, mercy. Mercy received must be mercy extended. Bitterness clogs the heavens. Prayer flows best from a pure and humble heart. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Matthew 5, verse 7. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Matthew 6, verse 14. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Ask God for a heart that is quick to forgive, because your freedom depends on it. 6. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil, guidance, and protection. This is a cry for divine guidance and protection. You're not built to fight alone. This is where spiritual warfare begins. The Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 3. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6 verse 11. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, and even forevermore. Psalm 121 verse 8. God's protection is your shield, but you must ask, seek, and stay in communion with him to walk in it daily. 7. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Worship and surrender. We end as we began, with worship and surrender. It all belongs to Him, the power, the glory, the dominion. Prayer begins and ends with the throne. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. 1 Timothy 1, verse 17. Prayer is not routine, it's a relationship. It's where heaven touches earth, where strategies are revealed, and where strength is exchanged. It's where you legislate in the spirit and your inner man is fortified. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. So go back to that place of prayer. Stay long enough to hear. Stay humble enough to receive. Stay hungry enough to grow. May your secret place be reignited with holy fire. May your altar never lack incense. And may your life bear the evidence of divine communion. He did not call you to seek Him in vain. Those who tarry in His presence are never barren of results. Arise, return to the place of prayer. That's where the listening begins and transformation takes root. Isaiah 45 verses 18 to 19. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. 5 prayer points for a fruitful and effective prayer life. 1. Father, thank you for the privilege of prayer. Strengthen my spirit to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Lord, I thank you for the gift of communion with you. I ask for the grace to be consistent in the place of prayer. Remove every distraction and weariness. Rekindle the fire on my altar in Jesus' name. 2. Lord, baptize me with fresh hunger for your presence. Let my desire for you outweigh every earthly distraction. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 5, verse 6. Father, stir in me a spiritual appetite. Let me long for you like David did, my soul thirsting after you. Let this hunger draw me deeper into your presence daily. 3. Holy Spirit, help me to pray according to the will of the Father. Let my prayers carry weight and purpose. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. The Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. Romans 8, verse 26. Teach me, Holy Spirit. Guide my tongue and lead me to pray the heart of the Father. May my words align with heaven's will and carry divine power. 4. Lord, increase my faith to pray bold prayers and trust your timing. Let doubt and fear be silenced. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Mark 11, verse 24. I declare my confidence in you, Lord. Strengthen my faith to stand, even when answers delay. Help me trust your wisdom and goodness. 5. Father, give me the grace to pray with persistence and patience. Let me never grow weary in seeking you. Men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Luke 18, verse 1. I ask for perseverance in the place of prayer. Like Elijah, Hannah, and Daniel, help me to press through until I see results. I receive stamina and spiritual endurance in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus, the new covenant that gives us boldness to come into your presence. We glorify you for this message, for awakening our hearts to the power of prayer and communion with you. Let this word take root in us, let it bear lasting fruit. Revive every weary altar, stir fresh hunger within us, and draw us deeper into fellowship with you. To you alone be all the glory, now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Rev 4:11. Remember, he called you blessed. You are blessed. Live it. Believe it. Walk in it daily. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies and seek him with all their heart. Psalm 119:2. Written by TBM, The Blessed Message.
Teach me how to pray. Teach me how to worship right. Lord, I'm your baby. You called me your baby. Teach me how to pray. Teach me how to worship right. Lord, I'm your baby. You called me your baby.
Free.